build a small porch had been the right decision. The builder was a local man. Bamford people, when they heard someone wanted a small job done, invariably advised, "You need George Biddock for that." The idea that someone might not ask George was seen as an affront to local pride. When Meredith had mentioned to her neighbour, Mrs. Crouch, that she was thinking of having a small porch added to her modest house, she was predictably recommended to get hold of George.
"He'll fix that up for you in no time."
What was more, Mrs. Crouch had George's phone number written in wax crayon on a laminated cardboard owl in her kitchen. After that, the die was cast. George Biddock it had to be. So it had come about that Meredith had arranged to arrive late at her Foreign Office desk today in order to wait for George. There were last-minute details to settle before she went off to catch the London train and George set about constructing the porch. He had delivered the wood and some bags of cement the evening before on an elderly rattling truck. The wood lay in unsawn lengths at the side of the path. The cement bags were decently shrouded in a plastic sheet. The porch had seemed like a very good idea. The hall was draughty. A porch would, Meredith hoped, lead to lower heating bills. Moreover, anyone standing at the front door in inclement weather got wet through. Meredith, after getting soaked while hunting for her key throughout the winter, had decided that enough was enough, and come spring, something would have to be done. George had received the commission with the words,
"Ah, Doris Crouch said you was wanting a rustic porch."
So it was a good job I asked him, thought Meredith, realising Bush Telegraph had got there before her. To be fair, he had seemed to know what she was talking about, and his price was reasonable. At the same time, she was fully aware it was necessary to get things quite clear at the outset, or George would build what he thought was suitable, not what she wanted. But now, for the first time, a real niggle of doubt as to his overall reliability assailed her. It was kind of George to visit an aged aunt. George was on the wrong side of 60 himself, and Meredith wasn't surprised to learn Auntie was a nonagenarian. On the other hand, she hoped Auntie wasn't going to prove the standard excuse for late arrival or outright non-appearance. Still, he was here now, a tall, gangling figure wearing an ancient suit over a ragged knitted sweater. The jacket sleeves stopped well short of his wrists, and his huge, gnarled hands dangled in a sinister fashion by his sides. A greasy flat cap crowned his balding head. A stub of pencil protruded from behind one ear, an unlit crushed cigarette from behind the other.
"I'll leave you to it, then," she said.
"Ah,"
said George absently. As far as he was concerned, she was dismissed. To hang around now would be to get under his feet, was the unspoken hint. Meredith backed her car out of the garage and prepared to drive to the station. On a last impulse, she lowered the window and called out,
"I gave you my office number, didn't I? You will ring up if there's a problem."
"Little job like that," returned George. "Be a doddle. Off you go. Doris Crouch will have seen me get here and got the kettle on."
Oh dear. Meredith let the window up again, shutting out George and whatever work practices he observed. She'd hired him and she couldn't unhire him. Anyway, she hadn't time to argue. As it was, being late set an immediate problem. The station car park was full. She had to drive onto a bumpy grass verge at the far end of it and leave the car there. Technically, the verge was within the precincts of the car park and covered by her parking permit, but it didn't improve her mood to swing her legs out of the front seat and feel her high heels sink into the mud. Perhaps getting George along to build a porch really had little to do with wet weather, but a lot to do with Meredith's general feeling of late. Life wasn't going the way she wanted, and she told herself she ought to get a grip on things. It all had to do with Alan, of course. Alan and his proposal.